Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight into the destiny, the call, the purpose of God. And we do it knowing that as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth. We are able to be that blessing as God told Abraham in the book of Genesis. We are able to be that blessing to every creed, every generation, to every race, and show and demonstrate the love, the power, the authority of God through his salvation, through his deliverance, through his healing, through his peace, and its eternal promise. We are God's chosen people in this hour that he is using, called by his name, that he's going to get glory out of. So we are those who we need to be empowered in our process of there, because as we go through things in life, everyday situations, we apply the word of God, we believe the word of God, we stand on the word of God, we don't waver, but we know that the word is infallible. It will come to pass in our life when we allow faith and our trust in God to meet, and it manifests an opportunity for God to get glory. We are stretched, we are proven in the process, our faith muscles grow, but we bring glory to God because someone else is going to be touched by our overcoming testimony as we add to it every single day. Yesterday we began looking in First Chronicles at the life of David, and forgot to give you the message, the title of this thing for this week. It is established before a detected enemy. Established before a detected and a defeated enemy. We have been established by God because he's called us before the foundations of the earth to his purpose and his plan. As he has established us, we have an enemy that has detected us in the spirit realm and in the natural, but the enemy is defeated. As we look at the book of 1 Chronicles 14, verses 1 through 17, I'm going to go over it briefly and just go back over what's going on. David himself has now been ordained, and he is now the king over all Jerusalem. And what happens is, as he's become king, he needs a palace. And what they normally did was whenever a king has firmly established himself and firmly established his kingdom, he would build a palace, and this publicized the fact that he was king. So David is now building a palace because he's publicizing that he is the king. That's not just a rumor. He's setting up something that looks and says, I have lordship, I have kingship, I have authority, I have territory, and it belongs to me. That's what happens, what we do in the kingdom of God. When we begin to move by faith and decree and declare the word of God that this is what it shall be and it's going to be this, we take territory from the enemy that belongs now to God. The Bible lets us know that everywhere that Abraham's foot trod, that territory was given to him. So it is with the spirit realm. When we go in spiritually and decree, our family shall be healed, whole, they shall serve and love God, we mark territory saying this is righteous territory, this is set apart for God, and it's established by God, and he is building his lordship through us in the earth so that everyone can see that we're not going to live to the standard of the world, but we're living in the standard of God's righteousness. So David is setting up something that shows that God has anointed him, appointed him, and called him to be king. He gets King Ahiram to now come and set up, help him build what he needs. This king basically sends masons and carpenters to help David build his palace. He also supplies the lumber. And the king's name, King Ahiram, means consecrated. He constructs a royal palace and supplies all the material for the temple also, as well as other buildings. And what happens is when you are in a place where God is establishing you, when he's giving you victory, he's going to set up something so that people will know that God has called you to that territory and you've won. He's going to have the best and skilled laborers that are going to be used to construct the palace of what he has for you. And what I mean by that is when the time of your establishment comes, because God always establishes his authority. He establishes things in the earth, people in the earth, to show glory. So when God gives you that place of establishment where he's going to establish you, whether it's in your house, your marriage, your ministry, in the community, on that job, when he gives you that victory and shows you that victory of your territory, God will send only those and use only those who are consecrated and skilled to design the job, the business, the ministry, the sanctuary, the home, that scholarship or that opportunity just for you. He's not going to let anybody and everybody work on that which is established for you. He's going to make sure that it is that which looks like him and is going to resemble him. And so he's going to have the right people, even if they do not believe all the ways according to what you believe, but they are those who are skilled in what they do what you need to do. How do we know this? Because when the prophet needed something to eat, he did not get his food when the famine was going on from a person of his own religion or a person of his own race. He got it from a Gentile woman. She fixed and obeyed the prophet, and because of that, her whole Gentile house was blessed. So sometimes God will use people outside the box to be a blessing to you, to set up something for you, because he knows that their gifting and their talent, even though they don't know they're supposed to be used by God, is going to be used for their glory of his kingdom. So he might use you to be the vessel to link them to coming to know him, but he will use their giftings and their talents for his glory. So we want God to get the glory out of what we're doing. So anyone that God is going to use is going to be someone that he has consecrated to do it. He's consecrated to help you. He's consecrated, not you. That means he's using them for his glory to build his kingdom. So we see David is building the building, and he understands that what he's building, he understands completely that he did not do this, but this was all for the glory of God. This was of God alone. And God was the one that placed him in power, and God was the one that exalted him. You're going to be exalted. God is going to place you in a place of power and authority, even if it's limited or little power. Don't abuse it. Live for the glory of God. Be guided by the Holy Spirit to do all that God has required of you, so that when you're in that place, you honor God completely, not yourself. The Bible lets us see that David had, he married and he had children. And in the time of David, the kingship, the kings were basically, they would get in alliance with other kings, and they would give their daughters to a king so that it would build a stronger relationship, a stronger nation, a stronger covenant, that they would be in peace with one another. So David is at this place where he is building a strong covenant between him and other nations, an alliance that looks like God, that is going to be righteous. This shows in the spirit realm, it shows this, that David has the ability to marry the will of God and the ability to produce righteous things. Even though this is a natural act, everything that David did when he was walking in line with God had a spiritual connection. He was now married to the will of God, married to God's people, so to speak, so that he was basically saying, I'm going to be the king that looks like God, setting up something so that Jesus can come through my established throne in the earth, and now as his kingdom is in heaven, now let it be established in the earth. So everything was being done because there was a spiritual principle behind it. This shows David being linked in marriage to God's divine will to unite the people in righteousness, to unite the people in peace, to unite the people in unity with God, that no idol will be there, that they will love God and serve him righteously. He did that, and his ability to produce the extended life of growth and increase in his own kingdom, even though it may not manifest it in his life, in his children, he was setting an example that would have established God's unity and the extension of God's love in the earth that they would need to see and that others would need to see. So when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed as king as Israel, they mobilized a task force. They mobilized people to come against him. They mobilized those who are forced to try to fight against the will of God, the plan of God, the chosen one of God. There will be people that will try to fight against God's plan because they don't think or feel you're the chosen one, chosen to be the mother of those children, chosen to be the wife or the husband of that individual, chosen to be the leader at the church, chosen to be the one in charge at that corporation or that business, chosen to receive the scholarship, the blessing, whatever it is. God has appointed it to you. And they will try to stop God's plan, God's purpose, and they are fighting not you but God because they cannot defeat God's purpose and God's plan. They wanted to try to capture David and they searched for him. The Philistines wanted to stop David from prevailing and taking Jerusalem and making it a capital. They basically wanted to stop the righteousness of God from being seen in the earth. The order of God's righteousness. They wanted to stop the rule of God's righteous reign through David because it was establishing and setting up the rule of Christ. So they wanted to stop that because they were pagan worshipers, they were unrighteous people, and they wanted to stop David's reign and stop what God had willed. When David heard the plans of his enemies, he began to move. The Philistines were raiding in the valley of Rephaim, and this valley means the valley of giants. The enemy wants to bring a giant to you or bring giants in your life at the place of your established victory. David had already established and had gained victory, but the enemy comes to try to now bring a giant in his life again, not understanding that he had already defeated Goliath. He had already defeated the lion and the bear. And these things represent different aspects in the spiritual realm. It represents God's authority to defeat strongholds that come with the bear. The bear means, in the spirit realm, it means economic loss or poverty. It means financial loss. So when David defeated that lion, that bear, he was defeating it not only for his father's house, but he was defeating it for the kingdom that he would now rule over. When he defeated that lion, that was a territorial spirit that was trying to come in and act and rule in a type of way like the enemy, growing as a lion, but we know he does not have power over us. So the enemy thought he would come in and do the same thing. But David defeated them. When you saw Goliath, that was a stronghold of territorial spirits that was trying to lord over him, trying to tear over him, peer over him, hang over him, and God would not allow that either because that was spiritual wickedness in high places because giants represent the angels, fallen angels that came down and slept with, got into men and slept with women and produced giants. So that's spiritual wickedness. So he defeated something that was spiritually wicked in a high place. So the enemy wanted to do the same thing, bring something else against him and a valley of giants to try to reign over him, but he seeks the face of God. I don't have time to go into it any further today because I am empowering you and giving you enough to know that where you are, God is going to be there. He's going to help you. He's going to make sure that his will is done. And if he's established you, I don't care what giant has, what enemy has detected you, that enemy is defeated. God has already commanded you to be victorious. God bless you. Have a victorious day, and we'll see you again for 15 Minutes of Empowerment tomorrow. Be blessed.